Turn to page 120 in your book, 120, and let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord this morning. Victory in Jesus. We can all sing that this morning. If you're saved and ready for heaven, you can sing victory in Jesus this morning.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew. And all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew. And all my love is new. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels and the old redemption story. At some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love.
Come on up, choir.
Join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. It's time we the people stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our shoulders back and raised our swords to fight. For the Bible is our weapon and the Spirit is our shield. The church needs more of its members to be workers in the field.
Step into the water, way down a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, way down a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God, to the Lamb of God.
There is victory for the Christian who walks the narrow way. There's been a prize appointed for the soul who does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus, be all that I should be, so I can rest with Him forever, live eternally.
Step into the water, way down a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, way down a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God, to the Lamb of God. Step into the water, way down a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, way out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Oh, step into the water, way out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, way down a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Come join angels singing, hear those glad bells ringing. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Come on children, step into the water. Come on children, step into the water.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad to see that choir back in there singing. Aren't you? Good to see everybody. Especially Jake and the family. They're here. When I saw the boys, I didn't care about Jake, but when I saw the boys, I love the boys. And I hope you get to know them. So, let's see. I got boys over here and boys over here. Got all the boys, and some of you are still boys, right? Yeah. Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It is so good to be here and know that God is the same as He was yesterday, and He's going to be the same tomorrow. Boy, in this world that changes by the minute, He never changes. That is so satisfying, and it should be what every man is looking for, and you'll never find it anywhere except in Him. It's the truth. Okay, there are some things beginning to happen for the fall season. We have asked that in September you put forth a little extra effort. More schools have already started back. Kids are in. And we don't have a lot of the activities that keep you busy, so busy you can't do anything. So we're going to put our efforts to asking people to come to church with us. How about that? Yeah, why not? We've been, for the last, I don't know how many weeks now, it's been building up, and I'm hearing people saying, how can I be a better witness, or how can I be a witness? Well, we're gonna be doing some stuff that'll show you and help you, so you don't go out unprepared, or that you don't go out intimidated by this world. We should never be intimidated by the world, folks. We're on the winning side, and we need to tell others how to be winners also, and lead them to the person who can make them that. It's not a belief in something. It's not a church by name. It is a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He makes the difference in everything. So let's get to asking some folks, okay? Get brave and courageous, and let's go for it. We're going to receive our offering this morning. If you ushers would come forward, we'll receive that offering. And give as God has blessed you. We used to talk about a tithe, and a tithe is a tenth, as we know, but God didn't give us Christians that limit. Amen? He didn't. He didn't. We give as we're blessed, and that's the good part. Let's bow our heads. And John, would you bless this offering, please? Amen.
Tom this morning, he was talking about not being able to remember his name outside of the congregation, and I have misplaced my book with all my CDs in them, and I was looking this weekend, I looked around again this morning at all the normal places, and could not find it. I was sitting down here, and Becky was like, "Did you find it?" And I said, "No." And I've looked different places in the house and in my car. And as soon as I said that, I had a visual of where I've put it. It is at my house, and I know where it's at, and I will get it when I go home. But in the meantime, I have a song that I'm going to sing without music, so it'll be a cappella. But I have sang this song. I think the first time I sang it, I might have been in second or third grade even. And I sang it at a CTS convention. They have music and arts competitions, and I sang it there. Dear to me, because It was my godmother, some of you know, Linda Hughes. She gave this song to me to sing, and it, at the time, I probably did not understand it at all. But I really do now, and I want to just read something to you. Oh, I've got a new phone. It's Face ID. Okay. This is Psalms 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Mm-hmm. In Sunday school, Tom said, we were in Galatians, and the verse came up about us being heirs of God. And then it goes on to say, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Tom made the comment right after that, so we're like Jesus Christ. That is a very difficult concept to wrap my brain around because I know me. But I was thinking through Sunday school. I couldn't even hardly hear what else you said, Tom, because I kept thinking about that all through Sunday school. And the flesh is not me. It is not me. The flesh sins, but I have the Spirit of God inside me, and I do not. And when the flesh, when I get in the flesh, or I let the flesh win the battle, Christ is interceding for me.
Yeah. Amen.
And telling God the Father, look at her, and you'll see me. If for no other reason, if I didn't have any other blessings in my life, which I have, my life is a blessing. If I had no other blessing, though, that would be enough to praise his name.
Amen.
Until I meet him in glory. I will sing unto the Lord a brand new song. I will lift up my eyes where my strength comes from. For the Lord is so good and greatly to be praised. Let us lay down our sorrows and our hands to heaven raise. The Lord is my rod and my staff. He is my sword and shield. He's my joy in the morning. He's the lily in the field. He's my soul's inspiration. He's my comfort in the night. He is the great physician. He turns the darkness into light. Let's lift up our voices now. Let glad hosannas ring. All the glory unto Jesus Christ, our Lord and King of Kings. He will soon come to take us to our home up above. Oh, come, sweet Holy Spirit, tell us more about his love. I will sing unto the Lord a brand new song. I will lift up my eyes where my strength comes from. For the Lord is so good and greatly to be praised. Let us lay down our sorrows and our hands to heaven raise.
Yeah.
I told my brother, Dan, didn't tell anyone else other than a friend of mine. But my prayer to the Lord was, Lord, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but you don't allow anything into my life without it being good for me. So I said, I'll just keep it to myself, and I'll let you get glory, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you'll get glory. Well, I got a letter Friday. They had done a CT scan. And the doctor says, I can't find it anymore.
Amen. Yeah. Give God a hand. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And sometimes I think it's just meant for us to lose something, misplace it, so you can't find it, and you have to come up with a plan that God has instead of a plan you have. I think it's just meant that way. Oh, mercy. John chapter 3. How many of y'all are familiar with John chapter 3? What verse comes to mind that you know is probably the most understood, or not understood, but known of all the Bible in John chapter 3? John 3:16. Of course it is. There's been more shirts sold with John 3:16 on them. Now, are the boys going to children's church? Okay. John 3:16 is everywhere. You can drive down the highway and you can see where someone has made a handmade sign and placed it on the highway. And John 3:16, great verse. But there's so much more in John 3 that we're going to take a moment to explore, because the title of our message today is The Way into Life. The Way into Life. Now, I'm looking out here and I see moms. And moms brought their children into life. That child came from the mother's womb to this big, vast world that we live in. And we can find so many negative things about this world. We can find so many good things with the fact that God created for us to enjoy. But, you know, a lot of times we get too involved with looking at the negative and the evil and the bad that we forget that God is good. He loved us and He gave us something to enjoy. Does that mean that the evil's not here? Of course not. Evil's just as real as the good is. So we know that. But when the moms brought those children into this life that we live in, they had the responsibility of not only bringing that child into this life, but the responsibility of taking care of that child. Well, we're going to not be talking about the life that we were brought into down here. We're going to be talking about a life much greater than that, and it's called eternal life. Now, that's huge. Don't just make it a religious word that we use, eternal life or everlasting life. Don't just make it a word. I want you to get really into this with your mind, your heart, and your soul, because I want you to know John chapter 3 better than you've ever known it in your life. And that takes you far beyond John 3:16. Except a man be born again. Now there's more to that verse, and you know there is. But I got to stop right there, because that leads us into the title of this message, The Way into Life. except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, to be able to see, you must come to life. If your children had never been born, they could not see what you see. Their eyes would not be open. They wouldn't be seeing. Now, you say that's a simple way to put it, but we've got to keep it there because we need to see what's happening in John chapter 3 in a spiritual sense. Because you can see in a spiritual sense. You can. And if you're saved today, you know what I'm talking about. God shows you things according to His Word that you never knew before. But when we read, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, we know that this is a Bible doctrine. Nothing wrong with the word doctrine. Shouldn't scare any of us. It's a word for the truth. But it's a doctrine of God's holy word on regeneration. No, don't let the word regeneration throw you either, because you need to know about regeneration. You know what it is to generate, right? Well, he's talking about regeneration. You must be born again. So we've got this doctrine built in this one verse. Now, to be regenerated, you're not regenerated by anything man has made. You're not regenerated by anything that man has known and put out there himself. You're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Now, don't let the word Holy Spirit scare you, because you need God the Holy Spirit. He's not only going to come in and change you inside out, not outside in, because some folks want to be changed from the outside in. You can't do that. It's not possible to be changed from the outside in. You must be changed from the inside out. So, the doctrine of regeneration is by the Holy Spirit of God. This is a fact. It is a fact. It's not a religious myth. I know some folks think that when you talk about spiritual things, you're talking about mythical things. No, when I'm giving you the Word of God, it is the most real thing that will ever be in your life. It is the most real thing. Everybody hold up your hand and look at it. Is that real? Well, of course it is. You see it, right? But the most real thing in your life, the most real thing in your life is that the fact that Jesus Christ came and died on an old rugged cross so that you could believe in what happened. And I'm going to take you into the intricate points of it here in a second. That you could believe that and you could be saved and ready to go to heaven. How many want to go to heaven? I didn't mean you had to get on the bus right now. Just raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Exercise. It's an exercise thing here, yeah. We'll just do a little bit of probably most exercise some of you get all week, right? So when I say raise your hand, don't ask you to do that very often, but when I do raise your hand or raise this one or both of them, it's okay. I don't care. I won't work out too much. But anyway, we have a fact here. This is not a myth. This is a fact, but it is a fact of the new birth. Now, I know you're saying, well, I can't see that. Doesn't mean it's not a fact. There's a lot of things that I haven't seen in this world that I live in, but I know it's a fact. I haven't seen it, but it's there. So, the Lord states here in this verse of Scripture the fact of the new birth. Now, it is more than we can imagine that happens when a person gives their heart and life to the Lord. The moment that you see your need of a Savior and you repent because your unbelief has hurt His heart, it has hurt His heart because He gave the best thing He ever had so that you could have life, and you haven't believed in that, and it hurts His heart. Well, the moment you come to the realization that your sin has hurt His heart and your unbelief has just broken His heart because it's in His Son, we think that something has to happen. Like, let me give you for instance. I've got to change how I am. Are you with me now? Something's got to change. I'm just not right. So I'm going to quit cussing. I'll just bring up those old things. I'm going to quit cussing. I'm going to quit drinking. In East Tennessee, it's drinking, ain't it? I'm going to quit some things because I've got to fix my life. Because my wife told me if I didn't, I could get out. Are you with me now? See, because things, our sin causes problems in our lives and we want to fix them. Right? We want to fix them. Well, you can't fix them from the outside in. The problem has to be fixed from the inside out. So we're not talking about moral renovation. If I had been young and had some money, I'd like to bought houses and renovated them and flipped them. I don't know why I came up with that, but I just thought I'd tell you. One of the things in my life I've never did and never will now is because I see old houses about to fall down. I told y'all not a few weeks ago that I see them about to fall down. Nobody's mowed the yard and things look bad. And I say, man, I'd love to get that and fix it up. That old house needs to be fixed up. Somebody tells me, well, somebody lives there. And I'm wondering, okay. But when you talk about getting your life right, he's not talking about moral renovation here. So you're not going to go through your life, pick out all the bad things that are happening, and you're going to get rid of them and then put something else in there yourself. That's by you. The thing you're removing is your problem, and the thing you'd be putting back in would be your problem. So we're not talking about moral renovation. It's a starting point. The moment you got saved, it was a starting point for the new birth in your life, for a spiritual life that you never dreamed could happen. I know you didn't, because you couldn't know. Until the Holy Spirit of God came into your life, you couldn't know how it would be to live right. No way for you to know. Not blaming you. It is more than just conforming to what this world says is right to do. The rule of life. It's more than just conformity to a rule. A rule of life. It is. It is more than baptism. And I'll always put that in because, boy, is baptism huge in religion. It is huge. I've been baptized because I've been saved. Right? I didn't get baptized just to be baptized. I got baptized because I got saved. And if you're a baptized, born-again child of God today, you have a whole lot to shout about. You do. So what we're talking about here in the new birth, what we're talking about happened to you, did not happen to you in the pool of water. It didn't. I thank God for baptism. I love it when a person shows their death and burial and resurrection in the baptism. I love that. And I love the fact that they're testifying to the fact they do have salvation. It thrills me. But salvation is not in baptism. It signifies a change of heart. Now, can you change your heart? There's never been a book written that can tell you how to change your heart. Only God can change your heart. If your heart is going to be changed, and your ways are not going to count. If your heart's not changed, your ways won't change. You may throw a few things out of your life that's hurting you, but it's not going to change your heart. Your heart will only be changed by the Spirit of God Himself. And that is when a sinner repents of their sinful condition and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Now that's all right here in chapter 3 of the book of John. And we're going to get into it, the whole thing. So hang on, okay? I've got about 25, 27 minutes here to do this. Y'all don't start counting now, okay? The new birth is a necessity for a new life. Not born, you're not living. So we know that we're sitting here today breathing, so we know we were born at some point in our life. We know that. Well, in your spiritual life, you're not, if you haven't been born again, you're not living. You're still dead. According to the Bible, you're dead in trespasses and sins. So the new birth is a necessity. That which is of the flesh is flesh. Right? That which is of the spirit is spirit. There's two different things going on here. We're going to get into the spiritual birth this morning. The spiritual birth, the spiritual life, the life that you can't know without Jesus Christ being your Savior and God being your Heavenly Father. In verse 8, we read this, because this is where we see the mystery of this thing. I don't claim to understand the spiritual birth. Don't think because I'm giving you what he has here in John chapter 3 that I totally understand the new birth. I couldn't explain to you what happened to me. I can tell you that it happened. Oh, I don't need to tell you. I just need to read to you. Let's read it. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I can't see the wind. I can see the effects of the wind. I can hear the wind. I cannot see the wind. I can't. And when I got saved, I couldn't see anything except that there was a change in me. I knew there was a change in me. There will always be a change in the person who gives their heart and life to the Lord. If there's not been a change, you're not saved. If you don't love the Lord, you're not saved. And if you don't love Him enough to be faithful to Him and serve Him, you're not saved. I'm sorry, you're not. I shouldn't even say the word I'm sorry. I'm just telling you, if you're looking for a easy way to believe and be saved, you're not going to find it. There is one way, and here's the way it is. So, there will be evidence of your new birth. I can't tell you what it'll be, but I can tell you this. There will be evidence because you're going to hear the sounds. And when you hear the sounds, it's going to change how you see things. It's going to change how you do things. Let's start. I want to read down to verse 14, of which is where I was going to read from. But I want to read down from there by starting at verse 3, if you will. Nicodemus has come in, and he's got some questions. And if you're not saved today, you've got questions. If you understand that you aren't saved, you're not born again, you know there's something lacking in your life. You know that. Just by living, you know that. Well, Nicodemus was that same way. So he had a question about life. Now in verse 3, Jesus answers his question. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I'm sure that didn't make a whole lot of sense to Nicodemus. I'm sure it didn't. But you see, he didn't stop there. Watch how he goes. So Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Now you know he didn't understand what was going on, right? Because you can't be born again by flesh when you're old. So he was thinking, wasn't he? He may have been kind of being a little sarcastic in a way, you know. We have a few of those. Anyway, he said, How can he be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Well, he knew that was ridiculous, right? That can't happen. You got to enter there again and be born? Oh, but Jesus answered, Come on now, Nicodemus, get with me. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, he didn't slow down there. He continued when he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he's already told Nicodemus, there's two births here, boy. There's two births for you to consider. The first one you cannot redo. And the second one, you'll never have to redo it again. Huh? No, you won't, because he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be Ye must be born again. There is no other way. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Now he asked the right question. This was the question. He didn't know what he was talking about up there. So I tell people sometimes when they ask me, do you have a question? You know, sometimes if you're at the doctor's office or if you're doing some kind of legal papers or something, they'll say, do you have a question? I say, honey, I don't know enough to ask a question. Maybe we just don't know enough to ask a question sometimes. But if you, Nicodemus, he knew where he had led him to. So he said unto him, how can these things be? He needed more information. So Jesus is going to give you more information. If you have a question, he'll help you. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master from Israel? Now it could be that the Lord said, I'm going to put you down now. Because I know that you say you're a master of Israel. He knew who he was. Thou art a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Why don't you? Why don't you? You're a master of Israel. You should know these things. No, he shouldn't. But he's going to give him a way to. And I'd say to you, if you're not saved today, you can't know about being saved. You've never been there. You're not spiritual. He can't enlighten your life until you make that first step and repent of the sin of unbelief and accept him for salvation. He can't. This is just the truth of it. So he said, art thou a master of Israel, knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. What he just did right there in that one verse is say, now, looky here, Nicodemus. Look right here. Because you're looking at the person, the only person who can get to heaven and come back from heaven. You're looking at him. But I'm going to give you a plan so that you can go to heaven. You can go to heaven and be with me forever. Now the message just starts right now, okay? Because he's going to lead him into the way to go into life. He's given him a whole bucket full of information. Now things have to change. And here's how they're going to change. Look at this. In verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, wonder why he started there. He started there because he knows they know the Old Testament. He knows they know what happened. And Nicodemus knew this. He was a master. He was a teacher of these things. He knew these things. He said, and as, not, he didn't have to explain about Moses. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, which means this has got to happen the same way. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What did the lifted up have to do with it? Well, let's look at it and see. Because he's revealing some things here to Nicodemus that Nicodemus could know no other way. So he's saying to him, pay close attention. And I'm saying to you, with your very heart and soul today, if you're not saved, I want you to go to heaven. Everybody in here wants you to go to heaven. And if you're not ready to go to heaven, this is the day for you. It could be this is the day, the same way it was with Amy when she said, I couldn't find my music and I'm going to sing this song with no music and just sing it a cappella. I'm sure she didn't put that in her plans. Well, here in verse 14, he's telling us what's going on. He's revealing, and I think she revealed in that song something that she would not have revealed had she sang a song of her own choosing. Right? God has a way of revealing things through us, folks. I know this because I have gone out to do what I think I'm doing is right for my service with the Lord, get there and find out that what I did wasn't for that at all. It was for something else that God had in mind. And I just have to look up and praise Him for it when I move on from that, because I see that He was in it. So Israel, here's the story here. Israel had sinned against God, and so God sent fiery serpents in amongst them as judgment. The biting snakes, the ones he created, he moved them right in there, and they bit them, and a lot of them died from the bites. Now that's nothing to have a celebration about. He's just saying this is what happened. It was all because of their sin. He brought judgment down on them. Now here's a brass snake on a pole. Ridiculous. He said, Moses, you make a brazen serpent, you put it on a pole and you raise it up, and the people who look at that will be healed and they won't die. Ridiculous. Everybody say ridiculous. Because you know it is. You know in your own natural, normal thinking, that's ridiculous to put a brass snake up on a pole and say to everybody, now if y'all will look on this, you'll be healed. It's the same way when we say, if you'll look to Calvary and look at Jesus Christ hanging on the old cross, you can be healed of your sin condition. And the world says, that's ridiculous. You can't do that and do yourself any good spiritually. You can't do that. That's just not it. I need to hear more evidence of something else, because this certainly is not going to work. But Moses said, if you just look, you'll live. And I say to you, if you'll just look to Calvary with a repentant heart, you can live. And you can live eternally. You can live everlasting. It can't ever be taken away from you. So most of the people who today you tell them that, they say, ridiculous, that can't happen. So the Son of Man, if He is to be lifted up and you're to look on Him so that you can live, the sin that poisoned your life and the poison that they got from the fiery serpents, it's the same story. If you'll look to Him, the poison of sin can be taken away and you can live. So if you'll look with a repentant heart, you can live. Man must look at Jesus. Don't look at a denomination. Don't look at any kind of religious organization. It's not there. You won't find it there. You've got to look to Jesus, because He was the one who was placed on the old rugged cross. He was the one who was raised up. He was the one that you would look and you would live. He is the one that will recognize you when you recognize Him. As your only hope. No other hope under the heavens is there for you to get to heaven than to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't have put it any simpler. So then that's when we go to let me just read verse 15. He says, after he said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. And by the way, believeth does not mean that you just have a head knowledge that you know who He is and what He is. You know He's a spiritual character in the Bible somewhere. You got to get out of that out of that head space of yours and get into the space where he can touch your heart, because you're a hell-bound sinner if you don't ask him to be your Savior, your Lord, and your Master. If you don't repent of that sin that's keeping you from going to heaven, you won't get there. You can't. You say, that's kind of hard, Dan. Well, it is. But boy, is it good. Is it good? So he says, so you should perish but have eternal life. For, and here's the verse, for God so loved the world. And we'll slow this one down a little bit because it is the verse that we pull out of chapter 3 all the time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? Amen? Now let's see what he's telling us there, because what he's saying here is, and we all get this from this, is that he's saying, I have the love for you that will get you where you need to go. Love is so strong. The love of God, there is nothing that can compare to it. And I'm not talking about you just having a knowledge that he loved you. I'm talking about knowing his love. I'm talking about reading about him. Read his love letter to you. The word of God is his love letter to you, by the way. And the more you read it, the more you will love him. I promise you, that's how it's going to work. So the Son of Man must be lifted up. Then we have the love story. He gave his only begotten Son. There's another verse. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. When you were a sinner, if you're saved today, you had no way, no hope of going to heaven. He had to wake you up. He had to wake you up. So, we were so unworthy for that to happen. We hadn't done anything for him. We had done nothing, absolutely nothing, for him to say, I like that. I'm going to give you a reward or a praise gift or something for that. We were totally unworthy for this. I never knew about unworthiness when I got saved. I just knew I needed him. I didn't think much about unworthy. It was when I started living my Christian life that I began to see my unworthiness. But I was so unworthy. But the biggest thing about being unworthy is that he has a love that's deeper than your unworthiness. You know, when you think about yourself being unworthy, you kind of feel like there's a big dip or a hole, because that's where your unworthiness is. You know, I'm just not worthy to be there. So you have this big old dip that you put in. Well, you can't go deep enough that his love won't find you. For God so loved the world, he gave the perfect remedy for your sin. And all the sorrow that would ever be in your life, he has the perfect remedy for it. Still in verse 16, he talks about the suffering that he suffered so that you would never have to suffer, that you could live for him forever and die and go to heaven. He gave his only gave. Four-letter word. He gave. God suffered to give. His son suffered to die. All the suffering that you would need was done by someone else other than you. We should have suffered. We should have died. But he made a way for us not to. How wonderful is that? Are you glad today that you did not have to suffer? Are you glad today that you did not have to die? He died for you, so that you wouldn't have to die. Are y'all awake? Amen. Because we're not talking about just the nails in the hands and the nails in the feet. I know we talk about the whippings, the crown of thorns, and all the things that physically hurt him. But that wasn't his biggest hurt. His biggest hurt was the mental suffering by the fact that he had to separate himself from his Father in heaven. His Father suffered when he sent him. Think about it. We have to keep this thing in the realm of you as a father. If you sent your only son to somewhere else to die for some other people, how would you feel if you knew that was the only way that these people could live and you were doing a good thing, but you're going to send him anyway? Then he suffered. God's heart suffered. His son's heart suffered so that we would not have to suffer. Amen? Boy, that's good stuff. For one who knew no sin, he became sin so that we could live a life and never know it again when we get to heaven. We have the presence of it here. Boy, it hurts, doesn't it? No matter what sin you're talking about today, it hurts. But when we get to heaven, there will be no presence of it whatsoever. You'll never have to know sin anymore. You won't have to worry about your children falling into sin and getting into a life that you don't want them to live. You'll never have to worry about that anymore from the presence of sin. Look at verse 16 and 17 now. Because right after verse 16, he says this. He is so, so good to us. And here's what he says in 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I've never felt a huge condemnation in my life. I think if I were standing in front of a judge and I had been brought to court for killing someone and I was facing a life in prison or death penalty, I could feel when the judge came down with his gavel and said, "You're guilty. You've been found guilty." That I think then, knowing what would happen to me for that, I would feel the condemnation. I've never felt condemnation like that. But we're talking about your life. He's talking about your life in verse 17 when he says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." He didn't come here to condemn you. Your life will condemn you by what you do with your life. That's where the condemnation will come from. But that the world through him might be saved. Now, when I get into verse 18, I'll be in a whole different realm here in just a minute. Right now, we're dealing with verse 17. The purpose of your salvation. Do you believe there was a purpose in salvation? We've already been there. We came all the way from heaven down. God had a purpose when he sent his Son. And his Son had a purpose when he came and died. All the way from heaven, there's been a purpose in his plan for salvation so that you and I could know what it is to be saved. He's talking about you. You. And you. And you. And you. And you. And you. Until it included the world. Because he's already told us. It was for the world. But first of all, it's for you personally. He loved you. He knows you. He knew you before you were ever born. He knew you. And he wants you to be with him in glory. When the Son of Man was lifted up, the door of hope was opened. Didn't have any before. Sure do have it now. Amen. If this ain't good stuff, don't say anything. Okay? If it ain't good stuff, don't say anything. And if you're saved and you're satisfied with where you are in your Christian life, and you don't want to see anybody else saved, and you're just going to go on until the Lord comes back and go on to heaven and be whatever you want to be, and it is what it is and everything, then don't say anything, okay? Don't even look like it's good news. But it is. But it is. And if you know it personally, it's good news. Because the saving knowledge of the Lord is what crowns this. His word is crowned by the gospel, the doctrine of salvation. It is everything. Everything. I mean everything. We're so privileged to be able to accept being made a new creature in Christ Jesus. We are so privileged to be able to have that. And you didn't go looking for Him. He came looking for you. Amen? Let me read now. Let me read, and as I read, you listen. Listen with your heart. Ask Him to enlighten you. Because here's what He says. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. You say, wait a minute now. The light coming into the world shouldn't be the condemnation. Oh, it isn't. Watch this. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You may act like you've seen the light, but you can't really claim you've seen the light if your deeds are evil. You do not want to see the light, because you know what light does. Light will show it up, every bit of it. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Wait a minute. Who is the light? Not what is the light. Who is the light? See, we're not talking about a mythical thing here. We're talking about a person. Make it real, because it is so real. It's the most real thing in your life. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You hate Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, you hate Him. That's what He's saying here. You hate Him. You say, I don't hate anybody. Oh, yeah, you do. If you haven't come to Him for salvation, you hate Him because He's a light. He says so. For everyone, don't leave anybody out, that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. And the reason you can't come to it is because it's going to show you up for everything you are. And what Amy said earlier before she sang, He don't look at you through you. He looks at you through Jesus Christ. And if you haven't received the light, He don't see you with that light. He don't see you right. So neither cometh to light, and you're not coming to the light because you know that all that evil is going to show up, lest His deeds should be reproved. Because when God sees it, He's going to reprove it. Amen? I never did want my dad and mom to see the things I did that were wrong, because I knew when they saw them, I was in for it. Right? I was cruising for a bruising, if y'all know what I mean. And when God sees that we have stayed away from the light because our deeds are evil and we don't want to have anything to do with the light, it's going to break His heart, first of all, because He had a plan for you. If you don't accept the plan, there is no other plan. There is no plan B, plan C. Verse 21. What's the first word of verse 21? Mm-hmm. Changes everything. But he that doeth truth. Oh, there's another word for the word. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. When you are willing to face the facts of your sinful condition and you want it right and you want the light in your life, then you're going to come to it. Only then. That his deeds may be made manifest. It's okay. It's okay if my deeds can be made manifest because I've got someone who died for me. I've got someone who intercedes for me. I've got someone who lives for me. I've got someone who fights my battles. God knows I have my battles. God knows I have my old human battles every day of this world. Folks, you're listening to your pastor talk here. We all fight our old human nature. We fight it every day. But we've got someone who fights for us who's a winner. I'm not a winner. I'm only a winner in Jesus Christ. He doth truth come to the light that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. That's where you are. That's where you are. You're either in or you're out. Amen? Amen. You're either in or you're out. And boy, is it good to be in. Is it good to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved, saved, saved. Born again by the Spirit of God, have found the light. Let's bow our heads. The way to come into this life is to come to the light. Apart from the light, there is no life. Everything in this life down here on this earth has to have light, or it can't live. And spiritually speaking, if you haven't come to the light, you can't live. And I would say to our young people, if you haven't made that decision, please take a good look at it. Because if you want to know Jesus and know how much he loves you, know how much he wants you to have a good life, and that instead of going to hell, you'll go to heaven, that's the secondary thing. What we don't want to do is hurt his heart. You don't want to hurt his heart. And I want to be in heaven with you forever. I do. And to do that, you must come to the light. Our God in heaven, thank you for this word. Thank you for the truth of the word. And Lord, I praise you for giving us a plan to come to the light. We're going to praise you for anyone here today who would say, this is the day I want to come to the light. I want salvation. I want to know what it's like to have Jesus Christ as my Savior and God as my Father. We're going to thank you for what you do here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would please stand. And if you need to make a decision today and you want to make it right here in this service, all you have to do is step out from wherever you are, walk forward. I'll meet you right here at the front. And you by that can say, I want Jesus Christ as my Savior today. I'm coming to the light. I'll meet you right here if you want to walk forward. Just as you are is the way he wants you. Just as you are is the way he wants you. Because he's the one who's going to change you. Remember, you can't renovate. You can't renovate. He's got to do it. And so to do that, he'll take you just like you are. Wouldn't it be foolish to say, let me renovate first and then I'll look at salvation? Because you can't renovate. If anybody here today needs to talk to me about your soul's condition, all you have to do is tell me as you go out the door, and I'll come to your home and sit down with you with the Bible. And all I want to do is help you get to heaven. I want to know you as my brother or sister here on this earth, but I want you definitely to go to heaven. So welcome each other in this service today as you leave, and come back tonight at 6 o'clock. For some of you, you'll have a reason to come back tonight because one of your favorite preachers is going to be preaching tonight. His name is Gene Deaton. How come y'all smiling so nicely? All I said was, well, anyway, I talked to a couple this morning, and they said, oh, we're coming tonight. I said, well, praise the Lord. Now I know how to get everybody here. Then I'll fool you. No, it's good to see everyone, and we still have a few people out. Oh, please pray for Doris. Doris hopefully will get out of the hospital tomorrow, and I've got to get her dog back to her. I've had that dog all week, and I've got to get it back to her. But pray for her, please. There is a sign-up sheet out here on the table as you go out. If you would like to go to Amos Mill to eat on the 10th of September, we're going to take the bus and go, or you can drive. It's in Rogersville. If you don't know anything about Rogersville, follow the bus, or you can get on the bus and ride the bus. But we're going down to Amos Mill. It's a beautiful setting for a good meal. I promise you, you won't want to miss the meal. You might miss the bus ride, but don't miss the meal, okay? Okay. Anything else that we need to say? If we think of it, we'll tell you tonight. So you got to come back tonight to find the information that you're looking for, okay? Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Pam, would you do that, please?